2 weeks ago, I delivered a message called Kings and Priests. The goal here is this: preparing for your destiny. I don't know anything more important when you look at end time events as to where you're going. You know, this, you know, like, what's your destiny? How are you going to get there? One of the things God tells us about in His Holy Word is that He's going to tell us in advance the conditions and the time of which you live so that He will get you to where He wants you to be. The kingdom of God. A lot of people don't understand the kingdom of God. You can go to many churches today and say, please tell me about the kingdom of God. And people will be surprised, and they probably won't be able to fill you in on what God tells you about the kingdom of God. I'm not saying all churches, but there are many. And most of the people that I talk to have reached that point. They don't really understand the kingdom of God. The message just today is mostly feel good. Most of the people want to deny that Jesus Christ is returning. But how can anyone deny the conditions we live today, the turmoil, the pain, the suffering? Just the other day, I heard now that Russia, they expect to invade another country next year. They've got 100,000 troops on the border. Look what China's doing. Afghanistan and Iran mocking us and laughing at us. So what is the kingdom of God, and what is your destiny, and how are we going to get there? God tells us a little bit about this. What I'm going to pick up today. And my people doth not consider. Who are my people? When I looked at that, I said, well, how does a person know if they're God's people? Actually, there's ways that God has given us to determine that. And I'm going to talk about that today. That's beginning in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. When you go into that chapter, the very things we see at the very beginning of one of the most powerful witnesses of the prophets is Isaiah. And in that message, he opens the book with this: against his people, not strangers, not foreigners, not the pagans. He sends this message to his people. Here's the warning. It's an indictment. It's an indictment. The very first passages of the book of Isaiah is an indictment upon his own people. Now, people try to get away with saying, well, that's just for Israel. That's not for us. And they want to separate us and Israel. So if you do that, you can. You have just separated yourself from being his own people. You realize that? Not realizing what you're saying. When you say, well, that's just Israel. That's not us. That means you're not his people if you say you're not. The truth is, in the New Testament, we understand that all those who accept Jesus Christ is an Israelite. And it throws you back into God's own people. And we're moving into a time which is a spiritual time. One of the things I found was so interesting in the last election, how often the left said, this is a battle for your soul. Remember hearing that? How right they were. Because you're moving into a time where Satan wants your soul. That's what he's after, to destroy his people. So now let's dissect a few of these things. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background, tell you who God's people are according to Scripture, not according to time. Because when you move into the seals, what is the first thing we find? False prophets, false Christs. So when someone says this, is it backed by Scripture? So what I want to do today is I want you to forget about Tom, and I want you to focus on the Scriptures I bring you. I'm going to take those Scriptures, and I'm going to tie them into a timeline of prophetic events, of pulling in a bunch of sermons to give you a picture that you may have never seen before. All right, Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. Said it's a sinful nation. There are people laid with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, and they have forsaken the Lord. That's a picture of the times we live today, the nation we live in today. So it goes on. And in that, there's also hope in these first few words. Because you see, this prophetic indictment is an end-time message. It's an end-time warning. It's a prophetic warning for his people at the end time. All right, so we move that out the way. We go into the same chapter, just a few verses later, in verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts has sent us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. So now keep that in mind when I ask the question again. How do you know if you're part of my people? We say, well, I believe in Christ. Well, how about this? God says it's a very small remnant. Well, how many Christians do they have around the world? It's estimated 2.6 billion people. Now, is that a very small remnant? I can go to any one of those 2.6 billion people and say, you believe in Christ? They'll say, absolutely. So that's not just the criteria that God's looking for. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not. Satan knows how to separate my people too. It's kind of interesting that we began the United States as we the people, where God says, they're my people. We the people. It's estimated 2.6 billion Christians. Now, to understand who the remnant are, how do we do that? To understand who the remnant are, I'm going to take you through a walk with your destiny and tie it to the prophecies and show you what the Bible says for us. And we're going to do it just like God has done throughout history. Here a little, there a little. In Isaiah 28, he says that. Here a little, there a little. Line by line, precept upon precept. Remember? God gives us prophetic end-time message through many prophets over many centuries. Here a little, there a little. God also reveals his understanding the same way. The understanding to his end-time prophecies, here a little, there a little. I was talking to one of our guests today. It was when we began. This all began the 7 years of a prophetic timeline with the blood moons. And what we didn't understand at that time, what we were being given, was an unveiling of end-time prophecies that God would begin then and keep adding until he returns. Very similar to what God told Joshua when he was entering the promised land. He says, listen, you've never been this way before. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant come through, you follow that Ark because you've never been through this way. And here we are moving into the promised land, just like Joshua did in the duality of events. That was the former and the physical. You and I are moving into the kingdom, the latter, the spiritual, with Jesus Christ. When we move into that, we've never been there before. So what is God doing? He's taking his holy word, these scriptures, and he unveils them. He says, now you follow that, and I'll take you to the next scripture. Not to the next prophet, not to the next person, to the scriptures. You follow the word of God. Let me give you an example. Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, Bill Salas. Any of them heard, y'all heard of them? Yeah, probably the most prominent is Jonathan Kahn. Now, he's reached tens of millions of people all around the world. But actually what began with this is Mark Biltz with the blood moons and everything built upon that. And the information I'm sharing with you today, I began by trying to disprove that. When I went into scripture, I found out, hey, wait a minute, I got the wrong information. So what we did is God took pieces of information that we didn't have in the understanding of the church that I was in, that we grew up in, since 1971, and he added it to the information that we did have. Here a little, there a little. So what I'm giving you today is almost 50 years of combined information that we picked up piece by piece, little by little, from what I've learned years ago through Herbert W. Armstrong and through Garnet Ted Armstrong. Those were the founding church that I was in since 1971 till Garnet Ted died. We began and we established this. We actually developed our first TV special, taking the information we understand from the truth and built it around what we did not have that God gave them. No one man can claim that he's got all truth. The only one who can do that is Jesus Christ. And he does that through his holy word. Now, I'm going to show you something, some pieces of material I want to offer you before you leave today. Out of the mouth of two witnesses was the very first TV special that we did. It had all three of those gentlemen. And it was amazing how God put them together in the same place. We interviewed each one for over an hour and put together a package that could not be told with the information they had until it was put together with the information we had. And that's where God talks in the New Testament. It's built upon the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And that's the way he's putting together the end time warnings. Now, what I want to give you now is an intro of that TV special. It's about 4.5 minutes long, and it's going to, if you hadn't seen this before, it's very eye-opening, and it's going to get your mind to thinking. So you can watch it up on the screen. Let's play that video.
You need to be scared. You need to be concerned. And you need to get your butts moving out in New Orleans. This is the mother of all storms. This storm is so powerful and growing more powerful every day that I'm not sure we have seen anything like it.
This was no minor disaster. This was a biblical scale catastrophe on our hands, and we were in the center of it here.
This is the storm of the century.
As I flew over the city of New Orleans, I can still see the scars left from the death and destruction from Hurricane Katrina from 10 years ago. As I sat on the levee, I reflected as one by one our hedge of protection was removed until the floodwaters eventually overtook and destroyed our city. As I pondered on these events, I couldn't help but to wonder if there wasn't another storm of enormous magnitude that was approaching our nation. A storm that couldn't be measured by the human eye, by barometric pressures, by colliding fronts, or even in a Richter scale, but is measured by the sins of its people. And I had to wonder and ask myself, is that a storm approaching this nation today? This story is about that approaching storm and the concerns for this great nation, America as we know it. Is that we know that when the season comes, God says we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the moment, but we know the season.
Yeah, he rebuked the Pharisees for not understanding the signs of the times.
If the blood moons are relevant and the Shemitah is relevant, then there is a likelihood that you're going to have a major episode happen in the Middle East. It can't go much longer. It's like a pressure cooker that's about to burst in the Middle East.
I believe a great, great shaking is coming to this land, coming to America, coming to the world. It will involve the collapse of the financial realm, the economic realm, and will be greater than that, and will change things, even change the course of history.
We're not just talking about just religion. We're talking about events that are going to shape this entire world. Mm-hmm. Every man, woman, and child.
They're saying all the danger signs that were there at the last crash are there now.
When we talk about Bible prophecies, 2015 may be a year where we see the literal fulfillment of a Bible prophecy. We don't know this for sure, but these guys are pointing to some very big warnings right here.
From a prophetic standpoint, we're very close.
And your timeline here, I'll be shocked if we don't see the fulfillment of 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 different Bible prophecies. We've only talked about a couple of.
There's the potential we could see the beginning of the tribulation occurring, but I don't know. We'll have to watch and see.
But the warning is, Shemitah in Hebrew can mean the release, but it can also mean the collapse or the fall. And so the warning is that if America does not return to God, America is rapidly departing from God and driving him out and defying his ways. If America doesn't return to God, that its crown as the head of nations, the American age as we know, as we've all known it, will collapse. And it's even beginning to collapse even this year.
That went to 3 networks, 65 million homes for 7 weeks. Now, what I've got here for you is the extended TV version. Everything we do is given away, so I'm not trying to use this as a sales pitch. What I'm trying to do is use this as an awakening. to get people to understand. They're outside at the door where you come in. We got a second video that's going to show up in just a few minutes, too. I'm going to talk about that later. We're really blessed to be able to bring that work out. We really feel like the outreach for the warning message began in 2015 at that Shemitah year. What do we understand at that time? Well, we understood that we are in a time of prophecy. And so from that time to now, let me give you one more piece of information. What you're looking at is this here, if you've never seen this. What this is a correlation. I call it the Bible study prophetic timeline. You got this out front, too. Everything that's in there, it's over 60 hours, almost total prophecy, tying the pieces of God's puzzle, pulling in all these different scriptures for the last 7 years. So if we're looking into the kingdom of God, your understanding of where you're going should be the utmost important of what's on your mind. The second is your condition with God when you go through it. On the inside, what you have here, you see the timeline. We give you every one of these. This stopped in 2019. I've got 2 years of information that goes on from there. Now, I'm giving that to you now because we don't know if we'll see our guests a second time. So I want to make sure that you get as much information that you can have for your home at your leisure to be able to go back and study. So now, look what else God says to us. All right, so we know there's a remnant. We know that there's his people. But look what else he says. Sure, the Lord will do nothing unless he reveal his secrets to the remnant, his people, first. The prophets, he calls them. We know that the shadow precedes the event. That's used often in prophecy, and understanding even when they built the temple, they said it was a shadow of what was in heaven. So when God gives us end time warnings, he generally gives us something to look at first. That shadow precedes. So we can look at and we see these conditions, we understand what he's about to do. The Lord will do nothing unless he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets, and this is how he's done it. He's declared the end from the beginning, from ancient times to what is to come. So we know where we're going by what we see from the past. One of the biggest important pieces of information is that puzzle of the children of Israel coming out of captivity, going into the promised land, which pictures the exact same time that we will be in. We're talking about being in a nation captive, going into the kingdom at the return of Jesus Christ. God gives us the former to understand what he will do in the latter. He recorded them in Scripture, and they're written for our admonition upon who the ends of the world are come. That's not a quote from Tom. I just read you a Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. So everything God recorded in there, especially those with the children of Israel, he says, I recorded for the end time. So God has taken thousands of years through many, many people, through the prophets and many books, to save that information for us. The remnant at the end time. So now, preparing for our destiny. How do you describe your destiny in the kingdom? It's a fair question. How would you do that? If you're going to sit around a dinner table and you want to invite your guest over and invite family over, how would you describe that, your destiny in the kingdom? Look what Revelation says. I'm going to shock some people because this is being on tape, and you can hopefully it'll be shared with people who are family members that maybe are not interested in God yet. They might at one time. But watch what God's word says now. Follow the scripture and don't worry about what it's Tom saying, but follow the scriptures. Look at this. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Interesting, God calls it a first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. I've always wondered about this scripture because, you see, the theology we've been given today is that when you die, you go to heaven, or maybe the other way. Why is there a resurrection if you're already in heaven? It always troubled me about that when I read this. So why are you having a resurrection? Who are you going to resurrect? There's nobody left dead if they're in heaven or in hell, right? But how about this? That first resurrection, reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, which imposes a couple more questions. Now I'm in the same chapter in Revelation, 2 verses earlier. Now watch this. I don't know how many people have been told this in church. But the rest of the dead live not again to the 1,000 years were finished. Now that's a puzzle. Because again, if you're already in heaven, you're already in hell. There is a resurrection. You reign for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are over, there's still dead people. They're going to resurrect them at the end of the 1,000 years. Anybody taught that in church? I'm not going to give you all those answers today. What did I do that for? I wanted to catch your attention and understand people who say, my people, maybe needs to be sure they're my people. Because, see, Satan knows who they are. Look what else God says. We're going to be priests of God and of Christ in that kingdom. Look at Revelation 1:6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. So what we're looking at here, there's no separation of church and state. You know, when God began the kingdom, the priests were the law-abiding body. They didn't separate it. It was only until they had a king, a physical orchestration that came in, that they began to have two different ones. So they have kings and priests in the kingdom of God. So here's what God says. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne, ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 2:26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So see, to do things, to be into the kingdom, to obtain your destiny, you have to overcome this life. You can't overcome it without Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who has. And it's through his forgiveness and accepting the blood of Jesus Christ that he makes us available to be able to do that. So now, the next critical question is, and I love this one, where will you rule? Now, a lot of people think you're going to be ruling up there in the throne and playing harps and whatever else they do up there. But look what God says. Revelation 5, again, read the scripture. Has made unto us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right, so here's what you got, the picture that you get in church. You die, you go to heaven. I've yet to go to a funeral where somebody's prayed them into hell. Anybody been to one of those? Not one. Not one. So they're in heaven. But the Bible says, and at the same service, Christ is coming back going to resurrect the dead. But they're already up there. So who's he coming back to? And then when he's here, when he resurrects the dead, he's going to be here for 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with him right here on this earth. All right? That's the overall picture that God gives us. Pretty simplified, but that's scripture by scripture. So now, my people does not consider. So now let's get into who my people are and say, well, do we fit that bill? The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people don't consider. They just don't think. There's two focal points we need to understand there. First, my people, who we are, and second, what we do. Remember, we have to overcome this life. So who are the missing elements of Christianity at the end time? Isaiah 1:9 says, except the Lord of hosts has left us a very small remnant. Now, out of that 2.6 billion people, somewhere in the mix of all those people who claim they're Christ, God says there's only a very small remnant he considers his. We've all heard the scripture that says, get away from me, I don't know you. And that's not my point to go there today. You know what my point today is? Is to get us all right here. To be a part of that remnant. So when Jesus Christ comes, whether you're alive and you become a spirit being with him, or you're dead and you're resurrected with him, that you... And let me say this. If you come here, you don't come by accident. Because you see, God says in John, no one comes to Jesus unless I draw him. See, that's the scripture. Until Jesus Christ opens your eyes, you can't see these things. Look at this shocking scripture. I don't know how many years ago when I first read this one, but it shocked me. Because you see, God, everybody says he's praying for the world. He doesn't want to lose everybody. Well, he does, but in an order. But look what it says in John 17. This is the prayer from Jesus Christ himself before he was taken out to be crucified. And he's praying to his Father to watch over those and his disciples. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. This is from Jesus Christ's own lips. What's the separation? He was praying for the remnant that God had given to him. Everyone's going to have a chance. Don't get me wrong. Because you see, there are a couple of resurrections. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about hopefully your destiny, that you will be in that small remnant of what God's talking about. Look at this. Jesus Christ's parables, disciples came to him and says, why do you speak to the rest of the world in parables? He said to them, he says, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not. See, are you following what I'm telling you here? That God has chosen people out of this world to be that small remnant, to be a part of the return of Jesus Christ, that end warning message, to usher in the returning Christ so that all people can see and be a part of his kingdom in his time. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, you've all read it. Each in his own order. Job, when he died, he says, I will rest. My spirit will be in its place until you call me. And he says, I'll be resurrected. Now, here's the shocking thing. Satan knows who you are. How do we know that? Because look at Revelation 12:9. The great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth. The devil has come down knowing he has great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. What's the first thing he does? He's going after a remnant. How does he recognize who they are? There's 2.6 billion of them down there. How does he determine who they are? You know, I didn't understand that question until just a couple years ago. I said, well, what does he know that we don't know? But you see, we didn't consider. And that's why God's opening up these puzzles piece by piece, step by step. He said he was wroth with the woman. And he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. This remnant comes up all through the Bible. Satan knows who they are. And he's going after them, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's the two criteria. How many Christian churches say today, you don't have to worry about the commandments? They've been done away with. There's a lot of them to do that. Then there's a lot of them say you only need to keep 5 or 6 of them. Then there's a bunch of them say you only need to keep 9. Because you see, the fourth commandment isn't important anymore. Make war with the remnant of her seed, right? There's Isaiah again, 1-9. That's a prophecy. The prophecy in Isaiah 1-9 at the end time, it was being fulfilled through the prophecy of what's Revelation is given that's going after you. They have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we as a church believe here. We believe that God gave 10 commandments, and 10 commandments are still in force today. All of them. A lot of churches believe that the fourth commandment is no longer intact. You can do it any day of the week. You can go on Sunday. That's for you to decide. I find nowhere in Scripture where Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath until somebody changes it. And it wasn't changed until 300 years after Christ died by the Catholic Church, who, by the way, will be the rise of the beast. Why would anybody want to follow what the beast power changed? I don't understand that. That begins to separate. So I typed in Google. So how many Sabbath keepers? A couple hundred thousand Sabbath keepers. So I find that interesting too. So we went from billions to 100,000 of people. There's one other thing that's important with this. The testimony of Jesus Christ. What is that? The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. If you're in the church, it's not having the spirit of prophecy. If the God's not revealing his messages to them, especially the warnings, the end-time messages, then Satan's not after them either. If you're going to a church that makes you just feel good and that's it, you need to question what's going on. Not because I'm telling you, because, see, Satan's looking for these two things. And if he doesn't find them in you, then you're not what God calls his remnant or his own. That's not from me. That's from Scripture. All right, so I took about 10 minutes there. hopefully to open your eyes, to be able to think, to go into that Bible, to do what? To consider. Consider what you grew up understand. I grew up a Lutheran. I went through Methodist churches. I went through Presbyterian churches with my mom. She drug us all to, like they say with a kid, you know, you had a drug problem when you were a kid. They drug me to this church. They drug me to that church. That was my mom. Wound up Baptist. Eventually, we wound up a Lutheran. When I was very fortunate to be able to understand when I was 19, when I'm looking at Scripture saying, that ain't what the Bible's saying. But I didn't understand it all back then. How important is all of this? Is it important? Is this important? Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What I'm telling you here, that if you're hearing this for the first time, and just even a little bit of this might have pricked your conscience to think, then I'm telling you that God's calling you to be a part of that remnant. And you need to go home, get on your knees, and talk to Jesus Christ and ask him to open your mind to understand the messages that are in here that his word says. Not what a minister's given to you, not what all these prophets out there are telling you, because I'm telling you, moving to a time there's going to be so many with ideas and false understandings that God says there's an entire seal. First one is false prophets. Because you're moving a time, there's going to be famines and pestilences. Oh, whoa. We got pestilences now, don't we? Well, the Bible shows you by the time the four seals opens up, 25% of this planet is going to be destroyed. What I'm showing, I'm going to end up with today, is God separates his people when that happens and protects his people while the world is destroyed. Now, if that doesn't wake you up and want to be a part, I don't know what else will. All right, now, you ready? Let's get into this. My people does not consider. The word consider in Hebrew, bayin, means, in general terms, means to understand or to separate. It's also translated as discern, perceive, or regard. It says, my people don't know. They have no clue. They can't discern what I'm telling them. They reach the point they don't know the difference from right and wrong anymore. God's telling us that his people are unable to understand what they see or they hear. Isaiah 6:9 says, go to this people and hear indeed, but they don't understand. They see, but they perceive not. See, that's in the New Testament. They quote that. And Jesus said they're dull of hearing. They hear, but they don't hear. Now, this is really important. When God says, take heed, look at this. Take heed, therefore. I love this. And I got to tell you something. I just came across this just a few weeks ago. Not that I didn't know Luke 18 was there, 8 verse 18. But look how it says. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. How you hear. How do you hear this? The information that I gave you today, how did you hear that? You said, this nut up there gave me crazy information. I'm not going to buy that. That ain't what my minister said. The Bible says, be careful how you hear. Because if God's opening up your mind to understand his holy word, the scripture alone, and it's pricked your conscience, God says, you better pay attention to what I just told you. Because he says, if you don't listen, he ain't giving you any more. Read it for yourself. I'm not making that up. Look at Amos 8:11. Behold, days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or water, but of a hearing of the word. Now, you could think that's the other people, but God's talking to his people. That's his people. So if you're his people and you don't adhere to what God says, if he's given you understanding and you ignore it, God says, that's it, I cut you off. Till you repent and then go back to giving you more understanding. Revelation 2 and 3, the message to the churches. Look what it says, and he tells them over and over and over again. Hear what he says, the Spirit says to the churches, him that overcomes, he that hath an ear. So God says, be careful how you hear. In other words, when you take something, go home. Think about it. Read about it. Study about it. Pray about it. Don't put it on the shelf. Do something about it. I began 2 weeks ago with this, talking the story about the past. What gave us the information to get us to where we are today, what I'm doing today, where we are today, the present that connects us to the future, and three, the future about where we need to go to inherit the kingdom. And I did it with the beginning with one bit of an instruction. God says, you're going to be a king. You got to do one thing to begin with. You got to go down and write the scriptures. Did you know every king, this is from God's holy word, every king was required to write the first five books. They had to write them themselves, handwritten Bible themselves, if they were going to rule. Whether they did it or not, I don't know. But you can get that. It's online. You can get it, and we'll be sending it out in a DVD. All right. Now to present. Now it's going to get complicated, so pay attention. If you hadn't seen this before, you can see a lot of pieces of an end-time prophecy coming together. Is it possible that God has connected his warnings and curses in Leviticus 26 to align with Shemitah years? I'm going to show you something if you've never seen this before. This is absolutely amazing. You know, we were given the information on how important it was for Jonathan Cahn for having Shemitah years. Our church always knew of them. We never called them Shemitah years. We simply called them the seven-year rest. They were the seven-year land rest. And they're very important to God. Remember when Judah went into captivity? He says, look, for 70 years, you're going to be in captivity because all those years that you've been in my land, you never let the land rest. He says, finally, my land is going to rest. When Jesus Christ comes back, Hebrews says there remains, therefore, a rest. That 1,000 years is the type of the seventh day or the 7,000 years where this world is going to rest. The land rest. So here we have the Shemitah years, 2001, 2008, 15, and 22. Every 7 years we've gone through this. Events have happened at each one of these 7 years. I'm going to tell you about those in just a second. Actually, you're going to see a part of these on a video. 2001 began it all for this century. Beginning with the curses came warnings, Leviticus 26. In fact, if you haven't read Leviticus 26, you'll read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Those chapters give you the blessings followed by the curses. Both of those chapters. He says, if you despise my statutes and abhor my judgments so that you will not do all my commandments, that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint terror over you. Wasn't that kind of terrorizing, 2001? Didn't that kind of terrorize us? Here's Isaiah again. Look what he says in Isaiah. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, he says, to my vineyard. I'm going to take away its hedge. That warning came. We had a warning back in 94. It came a second time. Here in 2001, we have terror. 7 years later, we went through a financial crisis of 777 points. Keep those points in mind. I'm going to show you something in just a few minutes. Something even more deadly took place. No, not just because it's Obama. You know, some people would be political. No, I'm not bringing him up because of that. I'm bringing him up because of this. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. So what we began to see in this cycle of Shemitahs is things moving to a more spiritual realm. You have a pagan god came in to our nation and destroyed those buildings. Just took them down. We didn't consider a Christian nation, a Jewish nation, or a Muslim nation. In other words, we have nothing to do with God, period, is what he said in his statement. Then you move 7 years later. Calling it the Holy Roman Revival. It's 3 1-hours I have in tape that you can go online to see the Holy Roman Revival. And this turned into even more spiritual. The Pope arrived at sunset in the White House. And you know what's amazing about Satan? He telegraphs what he's going to do. He tells you in advance. So he came here and he marked his territory. He came on the Day of Atonement into America and sat in the White House on the most sacred day of God's holy year in the highest office of the land. And he went to all these different places. He went to Congress, and then he went to the UN. Then he went to Philadelphia, the founding of our nation. I got a little video about that. Again, this was our second TV special that I want to give you that also. We have those outside also. This is called The Handwriting on the Wall. Again, it's just the intro. Brings in what's into it and kind of highlights what's important that was going on in 2015. You ready with that? Let's play that video.
As the fall 2015 approaches, millions are holding their breath to see what will unfold with the conclusion of the Shemitah 2015. The last two times this event occurred, it nearly brought America to a collapse. Despite what many claim that we have recovered, we have not, nor has the rest of the world. Since that time, debt in America has risen over $8 trillion with no end in sight. Global debt now stands over $200 trillion. Christianity is under siege around the globe. Tens of thousands have been persecuted and killed. Entire cities have been burned and destroyed. As I was preparing to deliver the second part of this warning message and describing how America has been accelerating its removal of God, no sooner had I begun that everything suddenly changed. As I was preparing, the unthinkable happened.
Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage across the land, and it's profound. The 5-4 vote, in many ways reflecting the huge societal shift of the last 20 years.
Lester, good evening. It's the most important gay rights ruling ever, and it's the culmination of decades of legal battles. A huge cheer, then singing, as the decision reaches the crowd out front. The historic ruling struck down the bans on...
Has America pronounced its own death sentence? Or are we witnessing the handwriting on the wall? In America, just days following the Supreme Court's ruling on gay marriage, the ACLU states that they will no longer defend Christians' rights. Will the pulpit be the next to go? Meanwhile, the internet pages are filled with predictions of rapture, date setting, and tribulation. Never in modern times have we seen so many alarming conditions all merging at the same time.
But the interesting thing is, like, you have all these reports, people saying, oh, it's going to go higher and higher, and then they're saying all the danger signs that were there at the last crash are there now.
In 2007, the conditions that the United States was in, we are right back, 7 years later, into those same conditions today, except we're in worse shape.
And all I'm doing is combining a science, history, and the scriptures to say this is the pattern. This is what has happened in the past. Could it happen this year? That's what we'll have to watch. It's going back to a hurricane. There's watches and warnings. I wanted to give everyone a watch that we need to be watching, looking up, because it could turn into a warning.
Now, with all these things converging, the tower converging, the tower looks like it will be completed. All these things in America rapidly turning away from God, I mean, at an accelerating pace. The harbingers continuing. You have the Tree of Hope dead. And all these things taking place. And the peak of the Shemitah, which is when generally things happen, if it goes according to this pattern, will be in September 2015. Now, again, my two cautions, nothing has to happen. God doesn't have to do anything. However, I'd be ready. I'd be aware, you know, it could.
We need to be prepared. But what if nothing happens this Shemitah? No global financial crisis, no world falling apart. What if nothing happens and things go on as usual? Does it mean nothing has happened? Will everything go back to what it was? God uses calamities to get our attention, a way of warning that something is coming. Change usually comes quietly. Normally without most ever knowing it took place. While we prepare for the worst that could happen this September, this program will focus on a quiet change that is beginning to take place this September that the world is totally unaware.
Change came. It came unannounced. It was very quiet. And you saw it, and we believe it was through the Pope in the White House, Congress, Philadelphia, marking his territory that this is his land now. It's amazing now we have a Catholic president, and what we're seeing taking place is horrifying as we go through this. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that now, but now I'm going to take together those pieces of the puzzle that began in that particular year. Because you see that ruling by the courts, it was the second time this nation on a national level has removed God through that marriage covenant. So now we have the Shemitah years. Each one of these Shemitah years, if you go back in Leviticus 26, that if you don't repent, God says, I'm going to bring seven times more punishment. Seven times more punishment. And each one of the words that God uses for the seven times more punishment is greater than the time before. So what God's saying is each time these events happen, it's going to get worse. For example, we knew the financial crisis. What we didn't know is that we removed God. And look at 2015, the damage that was done in the beginning of 2015. And look at us today, 2022. It was amazing that with 7 years, they went $8 trillion in debt. Do you realize that they're trying to push $8 trillion in debt and just money right now in 6 months? $8 trillion. 7 years. Look what God says. Your strength will be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield or increase. Neither her trees and her land shall not yield her fruits. And God says, and if you walk contrary to me, and if you are not hearkening to me, I will bring seven times more plagues, God says. What's interesting about this, it has the companion in Deuteronomy 28, verse 21. The Lord says, I will make the pestilence cleave unto you. What's going on with COVID? It doesn't go away. They're finally admitted this is probably never going to go away. They just have to try to find ways for all of us to live with it. Interesting, the word God uses, he's going to make the pestilence cleave unto you. So we're in that stage focused on what the next 7 years. How bad can it be? How bad is it going to get in the United States before September of 2022? When this Shemitah cycle ends and the final one begins. God says when that cycle begins, he says, I'm going to walk in fury. God says he's going to begin to bring about his wrath. He says, I will chastise you seven times for your sins. People don't realize, they don't believe that. They go about every single day with sin thinking that God doesn't pay attention. God doesn't know. He doesn't care what we do. Revelation 8, 1 and 2, he says, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. He said, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. When you look at what God says, you tie that into, which we're going to go into, going into the promised land, how they walked around that wall seven times, blowing seven trumpets. And they were told to remain silent. Remember that? Because you see, that's the shadow of what's coming in the prophecy of the end time that you're going to live through. If you've got just a few more years. Now, I'm going to bring the charts in and begin tying these things together. This is from Roaring Seas, the series on Roaring Seas. You'll see the color scheme that's behind in the background. 2014, 2015, it began with the blood moons. People don't realize that the blood moons, that's the eighth time that these blood moon tetrads have taken place since the time of Jesus Christ that fell on God's holy days. See, everything falls around God's calendar, not man's. Number eight means new beginnings. Number eight. It's like the eighth day of the week. Well, that's the first day of the next week. It's a new week. All right, so we have back then roaring seas. 2017 is an interesting, the heavenly signs. And that took place in 2017. It was a very reminiscent of Revelation chapter 12. All right, the heavenly signs. God talks about a 3.5 year period. So 3.5 years to 3.5 giving us the next 7 year cycle, we had the president coming in. So we began looking into what's the change of government. See, Shemitah years involves the rise of power and a fall of power. For example, 1945 was the Shemitah year, the end of the war. 1938, beginning of the war, was the Shemitah year. You can go through history just like that all the time. How about this one? 1776, a Shemitah year, the founding of our nation. And not only was it a founding year, July 4th was Tammuz 17, one of the deadliest times of history. So it fell on God's holy day, not a holy day, but on God's warning message on a Shemitah year for the United States. When we look back at the children of Israel, One of the things we understood that God gave them in preparation for the devastation that was coming was store up and prepare for the 7 years, before the 7 years of lean. Here's what I'm telling you today. We don't have time to go into specifics. If you haven't been preparing for an end-time scenario, start today. Pay off your debt, get out of debt as much as you can, and begin to prepare. My wife went to the store in Walmart. There was no milk. No milk. Can you believe that? In Walmart, there was no milk on Thursday. There was a couple of things you went to get. There was none. There was empty. We're moving into a time that these are the shadows of what's coming. So I'm saying, what I'm telling you is you need to think. You need to prepare for what's coming, because we get the shadow of what they went through with Joseph. Satan's removal, 2030. You see what took place in 2015 when the Pope came to America? He introduced his 2030 agenda. Nobody knew it. It was kind of immersed in a whole lot of other stuff. It was only later that we found out. You see that picture? Pull that picture up, Jeff, the slide. You see that picture on the end over there that looks so googly, so villainous? That's Vatican Hall. That's a building. They built it to look like a serpent. The outside of the building, if you look down, looks like the serpent's head. You look at Genesis where he says the serpent. Remember that? Well, they built it on purpose to look like a serpent. Remember I told you Satan pinpoints his attack? There it is. There's a serpent's head. That picture with those two eyes, those are windows inside that building. That is Vatican Hall. It seats 7,500 people where the Pope sits. It's got some strange stuff in there too, by the way. All right, so now let's move things around again. So we had the president came, that election came and went. We were looking at back then, the 2024, where the government says they're going to reach the Minsky moment. For those who don't know what that is, that means that you're no longer paying debt. You can't even pay the interest on the debt. So you borrow money just to pay interest on it. It's a giant Ponzi scheme when it gets down to it. But then we had something happen in 2021 called COVID. COVID-19, they began passing huge spending bills with multi-trillions of dollars. Never before in modern-day history. We are already from 2024 to now, 2021, at that Minsky moment. We have to borrow money to pay our bills. Just last night, they approved raising the debt limit again so we can pay our bills. Borrow more money. So, of course, if that moves up, so do our 7 years of lean. Goes moving up. The beginning of the lean begins with crisis. Yeah, you're getting more money with, they say you're getting more money, but you got less to spend with it. Well, that's one of the curses. All right, now let's put this same timeline, the timeline never changes, all right, into this, into the Shemitah years. 2015 was the Shemitah year, and I'm going to pull this together with something pretty powerful before this is over in the next 10 minutes. All right, so 2022, 2029 are Shemitah years. So we have just began to enter into the last of the seventh year cycle from either trumpets or atonement, depending on who you look to give you that information, till September this coming year, 2022, you are in that Shemitah year right now. The next one would be 2029. All right, so now, if everything's moved up and we put these 7 years of lean in 7 years of plenty, I'm sorry, 7 years of plenty on the Shemitah years, it would be 2015 to 2022. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us at the end time you got 7 years of each. It's only by understanding what happened in Egypt. But here's the principle God wants you to understand. You need to store up for the devastation that's coming. That's the key. It's not the years. It's the principle. All right, so now we move that up. But it's interesting that these seem to be lining up around Shemitah years. That's the whole thing about all of these pieces of the puzzle. They're all pinpointing to specific periods of time. So now, let's get back to what those were the Shemitah years. I'm going to go back to that in just a minute. Now we move to the seven-year cycle, seven times in that cycle. All right. So now, God says they're going to get worse. When we look at the fourth seal, when God says he's going to bring about his fury, now you begin to see everything that's been happening before are all going to happen together at the same time. So you're going to move into a period of time where calamity is going to be like Job. No sooner you finish one, there's another one. Finish that, there's another one coming. So now, we got these periods of time. Watch what lines up here. It's believed that Christ is going to come back on a Jubilee year. Anybody heard that? Yeah, I believe that too. I believe that he's going to be back on a Jubilee year. We don't really know exactly which the Jubilee year is. But look what shows up when you look at the Shemitah years. All right, so now we're going back to 1994 to 1987. 1994, remember, or 93, 94, the first towers were attacked? Remember that? It happened around that same period of time. But in 87, there was a stock market crash back then. The stock market plunged 22%. When I showed you that 777 points, that was only 7%. Imagine we have a stock market crash now at 22%. What would happen? It would plunge the entire world into chaos. So now let's move that out the way. Now let's look at the 15-year period to 2030 where the Pope says the end of the world. Remember everybody was saying the end of the world? No, actually is Satan telegraphing? He knows he has but a short time. I think he's telling us he has a short time. Might be the end of his world. Satan, he's being locked up. So watch this. All right, so now we have the land rest, the Jubilee, and the return of Jesus Christ all tied in on these Shemitah years. The land rest in Leviticus 27. It says, and you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto you. Those are the Shemitah years on the seventh. Seven times 7 years, the space of seven Sabbaths of years, shall be 49 years. So now, there's the first, the beginning of the calamity beginning and the warning. There's the shadow one. If you add always through, we come through, we have seven Shemitahs. But it gets better than that. Watch this. All right, so there's our total of 49 years coming through, showing that the beginning of a world collapse of warning in 1987. Then it says, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month. All right, so when that sounds, it brings us to the 50th year. And the 50th year is a Jubilee year. It's a Jubilee year. You see what's lining up? Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but God says you're going to know the season. So now look what is said in Hosea. Now, watch this prophecy. Pay real close attention to it. Be careful how you hear. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. Remember now, he says he's coming with his fury. Be torn up, being smitten. We're going to be in chaos before he comes back. But after 2 days, what are 2 days in God's plan? 2,000 years. Remember what Peter said? A day is 1,000 years to God. So now, if we look at 2 days, according to 2,000 years, from the time that Jesus Christ was crucified, he was crucified around 30 A.D., some believe 31. I've heard some people say 28, 27. You're close. Whatever you want to believe. But here's what lines up when you think about this with the saying 2030 is the end of the world. Is that, and after 2 days, after 2,000 years, so if he died in 30 A.D., 2,000 years brings us to 2030. 2030. That's 2 days. That's 2,000 years. Now, I just gave you something. I gave you scripture there. I didn't prophesy that. By the way, I'm not a prophet. You know, you don't have to prophesy. You just have to go look what God gives you. Then he says, and in the third day he will raise us up and we will live in his sight. All right, that's the third day or the 3,000th year. That brings us to the millennial reign. That's when Jesus Christ says he's coming back. He's going to resurrect us. We're going to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years as kings and priests. Do you see how close things are? Now, that ought to wake somebody up. Because you see, that's a scripture that you can't deny. You can't deny that. Now, let's go on. Again, the timeline, let's go to the shadow. This is the shadow. Watch this connection here. I'm keeping an eye on my time. I know, I think my sermon actually started about 10 after my announcements, so I'm going to be close. In 1933, Hitler began his reign of terror and it ended in 1945. He actually rose to power beginning in 1931. That's his beginning of his reign. He took total control in 1933. First thing he did, he went after the Jews. That was the second thing he did, right? First thing, he went for those who were the opposition. Why do you think the government, the left's going after the right? It's the opposition. They can't have the opposition because they don't want anybody talking about Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about the truth. They don't want to talk about what's right. So you got to go against the opposition. So he had prison camps built for the opposition, not for the Jews. But then he went to attack the Jews. All right, so 12-year reign. 12 years. All right, so now. So going through this, Israel, the physical nation of Israel, was established 3 years later, after the end of the war. A total of 15 years. How long has the popes gave us to the end of the world? 15 years. From 2015 to 2030. Look at that parallel that's coming in here. So now, his reign of terror was 12 years. All right, so there we have the Hitler in Germany. Now look at a prophecy here. It says, the earth shall be made to bring forth in one day, shall a nation be made to bring forth at once. Of course, that was Israel. In one day, boom, they're a nation. Now, at the same time, remember I tell you, I got our information and knowledge from through our church? It was through Mr. Herbert. You know when the church was established? Same year, 1933. Back then it was called the Radio Church of God. So what God was showing there, I'm going to show you this connection now, which is, I didn't connect to this until just yesterday. So here we have, while Satan's rising up, so is the warning message for a church. So there's this spiritual battle taking place in the physical realm of the shadow. So now, so let's move the Pope over here now, because see, now he's in the realm of the end time, the latter, right? So here we have, let's look at now. Scientists in 2018 said we have 12 years to save the world. 2030. The reign of terror began with this climate, right? We've got to change the climate. So they're going after anybody who's not a green person. That's our 12 years. The Pope in America in 2015 gives us a total of 15 years. You have this parallel. You have the former physical, the shadow of the spiritual coming later, where you're in right now. So now you have the second half of that verse. Sorry about that little square in there. I added that and forgot to put a movement on it. All right, so in the second half of the verse, it says, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So here you have the former physical nation of Israel, the latter spiritual nation of Israel. Same time frame, 15 years to 12 years, the warning message. So now you have all at the same time. So when did we begin this type of message and warning we have? 2015. See, I didn't connect that to just recently. And so just as the church began in the same year that the warning message went out with Hitler, we began our outreach at the same time that the Pope began in this modern day. That message, I'm going to take an extra few minutes here if you don't mind. And we take no credit for this because we didn't know where God was taking us back then. We don't sell anything. We didn't have enough money to go on TV. I believe we had a message that was important. God put those three guys in our way to do those specials. We couldn't have done that. We couldn't go visit them. We didn't have enough money to go visit them at their locations. They showed up all together in Mobile. So we connected each one of them, and we set up the appointment, and they opened the door to be able to interview them in Mobile. So we got all three of them all at one time in one location, 3 hours away from here. I felt it was God opening door for us. Then we couldn't do nothing with what we had because we didn't have the money. So we went to our congregations around the country. They said, we have the Gideon Project. Would you like to help? We raised $6,000. We presented this special to LaCie Broadcasting with Pete Summerall at the time. We had enough money to run on two of his networks, one-hour specials for 7 weeks because he gave us half price plus a discount. And he came to New Orleans and he watched that special and he said, the world's got to see this. He gave us the third network. That third network went to 22 countries and Israel. It went to 65 million people. And he gave it to us free. I believe what God was showing us, just like back then, that it was time now to bring this warning message to the world. and has been opening up this timeline ever since. We couldn't have done that on our own. Let me back that up just one second. Here I just brought this picture in. I was able to go through and do interviews around the country. And that's when I was on Prophecy in the News. And we got to go see other people too, because it caught everyone's attention back then. Now, let's go back to the timeline of Shemitah years and just begin to wrap this up. All right, so now we have the Shemitah years 2015, 2022, and 2029. There's our 7 years of plenty and our 7 years of lean. So now we have the physical parallel. Watch this lineup. 1945 was the end of the war and a Shemitah year. 1938 was the beginning of the war and a Shemitah year. 1931 was Hitler's rise to power. So here you have Hitler's rise to power in that 7 years. Then you have his reign of terror, and the war began in 1938 to 1945. And so now we're in this period from 22 to 28. We don't know what's going to happen there, do we? But here's what we're told. Satan knows he has but a short time. So what God's showing us in the form and the latter, you go through these, if you go through this and you take the time to go through all these sermons, you're going to find that everything that's happened in the physical is coming to pass in the spiritual today. So when we look at the physical, the shadow, this whole world was brought to its knees. It will be again. God talks about another world war that's coming. It's going to be worse than any other time. Matthew 24 says, when you get to this period of time, it's going to be unlike any other time in the history. So there'll never be another time like it. And you'll have to come in and cut time short to save life, because nobody's going to make it through it. He says so. You either believe it or you don't. But there's enough information that's out there and all these timelines all lining up at the same time. I couldn't make that stuff up. It's history. It's documented. It's recorded in God's holy word thousands of years ago. And you're witnessing them taking place today. It's building piece by piece, step by step. What I just told you about that coming together at the same time like they did back in the physical, I didn't even think about that till just yesterday. How God's given to us. So now I'm going to begin to wrap it up. Moreover, brethren, he said, I would not have you be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They're all baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That was rock was Jesus Christ. None of them made it. Not one made it, except the children under 20. Said Joshua and Caleb. And God says, I record it all, because he says, I don't want it to happen to you again. So what did he do? He says, all these things are examples unto them, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's the scripture. So everything you see they went through, their utter failures, all the points, every single point that's through there is pointing to the end time that you live in today. Now, let's wrap it up. We see in Egypt, before God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, there were 10 plagues. They were still in Egypt when God brought these plagues. Now, there are people who's going to tell you, now you're going to be taken somewhere. That's between you and them. But the Bible shows you, you're still in Egypt when he decides to bring all this about. Do you realize that? Let's hope you're not. I know the people, there's different teachings on all these things, but I'm showing you what the Bible shows us here. You have these 10 plagues, but look at Exodus 8:22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. In other words, God's going to take my people, and he separates them from Egypt. He doesn't take them out of Egypt. He takes them to where God says, no home will come nigh thy dwelling. Right? He says, that I will separate my people in the land of Goshen, in which the people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of you. This is the fourth plague. So that means the first three, the children of Israel, went through just like Egypt did. You know why I'm wearing this mask? I spent 2 weeks in the hospital with COVID. I had COVID pneumonia. I came very close to dying in the hospital. In fact, I had a lady reach me, I mean, this close to my face and said, Mr. Carey, if you don't fight very hard tonight, tomorrow morning, they're putting you in a ventilator and you're not coming out of here. It was pretty scary. And I prayed that night. And she gave me some things to do. She brought in a respirator. She brought in doctors to give me things that I needed to be able to get me through that night. She was a nurse, not a doctor. A very elderly lady. That night, things began to change. That was 2 months ago, and I'm still on oxygen from time to time. Thankfully, God's allowing me, even with the oxygen, to get a voice out. Because you see, this is the most important messages I've ever given in my life. Because we're moving into that seven-year cycle, which people don't want to pay attention to. But it's coming down around our ears, and we need to cry aloud and spare not. Now's the time more than ever before. Forget about who's giving it to you. Think about what God's given to us and focus on it. Someone will take you away from God, get away from them. Focus on what God says to do. He says, I'm going to put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow will be the sign. And God did. What's interesting with flies, you know what the flies do? They transmit disease. So what God's saying, when you get to that fourth plague, what's the fourth seal? 25% of the planet is going to be destroyed to people. But God's telling you, I'm going to protect you. That ought to be worth something. That ought to be worth whatever God's blessing He's given to us, to call Him, praise Him, and thank Him for whatever it is. And you take that message to your friends and your family, and you let them know. But you know what? They're not going to listen to you yet. That's okay. Tell them anyway. Because, see, there's coming a time they will listen. Because there's coming an innumerable multitude who are going to repent before Jesus Christ returns. That's why you're here today. You're the advanced team. You're part of what God's calling to be, a part of the return of Jesus Christ, to warn and to witness for what's coming. The world can't see it. They can't hear it. The message I gave you today, I couldn't give to them. They wouldn't sit there and listen to it. They wouldn't put a man in the moon until God opens up their eyes. You can get typhoid from them, dysentery, cholera, poliomyelitis, yawns, anthrax. I never heard of some of these things. Tularemia, leprosy, tuberculosis. That's in 2017, and many more. So the diseases are coming, and they're going to get worse. I'm going to talk about that next time. I'm going to talk about how God's going to be separating us, how God's going to be giving each one of us hope, and how important it is for us, His people, to consider. And that's what this message is. Why? Because you have an inheritance. That is your destiny in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to give that message in 2 weeks. Have a great week.